Good evening. I am the host of EldritchData.neocities.org. I will be starting these audio broadcasts, hopefully in the future, uploading them to the website to talk about the things that I personally enjoy in a easy, more laid-back way than my articles are written. My articles are written, I would say, in a very serious tone, very educational. This isn't be something that I find a little more relaxing, just to be able to speak on things that I personally enjoy. I've been wanting to do this for some time, never wanting to go out of my way to attempt it, though. I think it's just because of the sound of my own voice being, I feel, very agitating. It's hard to find the time throughout my day to make these recordings in a quiet setting. Hopefully in the near future I will really build on that motivation, if this goes well. To start out this evening on this recording, I want to talk about something that was very near and dear to my heart. It is the lore and mythos of Appalachia. I've lived in the valleys and mountains for about, I want to say, 15 years. Up to this point, I've built my life here. I've established a home here. If you are familiar with the articles I have written, you will know that I am also highly paranoid, very off-grid. I have built and established my life on those principles of maintaining privacy, maintaining security, and maintaining self-reliance. So in this beginning broadcast, I think that it's appropriate to talk, because most of my articles are about the seriousness of isolation and how privacy and security and computers can tend to lead to isolation. Appalachia is not a stranger to this. Appalachia has always been a very isolated area, protected by mountains, deep ridges, snows, floods, and the brutal summers that come with it often lead to communities and small upcroppings. While we do have some larger cities, that was not always the case. Early settlers believed that the isolation was unnatural, unsettling, mysterious, and possibly the woods around the area were home to monsters taken from Cherokee and Iroquois folklore, Irish and English folklore. A lot of these creatures got passed down generationally, and they adapted to the region. So this isn't a ghost story. While it's very fun to speak on it as if it was, these ghost stories were psychological, I would say. Like, they're ingrained in the very being of living in Appalachia. A lot of these stories were passed down. When I even moved here, a lot of the older folk that have been living here for generations and established homes and whole communities, often, I would say in jest, but they always had a very serious lesson behind it, spoke about these mythos. To begin, go ahead and grab yourself a cup of coffee, relax. If you enjoy something very similar to this, I will be uploading more in the future. To begin our story, we're going to talk about the folklore that is mostly stemming from the Cherokee, but also through the isolation the settlers experienced. The first off would be in the witches or crones. Witches or crones have been, I want to say, bastardized by Halloween. They are often talked about with the eastern regions of the United States, with the witch trials. However, in Appalachia, it touches a little bit different. Witches in Appalachia are a warning. They are a sign of distrust, distress even. Even going further to say that they are a tale of infertility. The women that are claimed to be witches are isolated by the hills, isolated in the woods and forced to take a nurturing role on those that they discover in the woods. Whether it could be malicious, Hansel and Gretel styled, which is, however, witchcraft goes deep. It could be knowing the weather, knowing medicinal properties of plants in the region, but also they could be malicious in the sense of they could lure someone into the woods to their death to get lost. One of the stories I was told is about betrayal. It's about vengeance and the untamed spirit of the wild wilderness that is in Appalachia. In the 18th century, a lot of these European settlers came to the Appalachian mountain ranges and became separated by the hills and by the mountains that created these vast walls that went on for miles. Weather, unpredictable floods would cut off trails. And one of these settlements or groups of people became separated, had to live on their own, had to isolate themselves and find a way to survive. And witches became a natural part of that. They began as like old crone folklore. Settlers that encroached on the wilderness around the area often told tales of elderly women that lived by themselves in cabins surrounded by animals. Often they would lead settlers to hopefully a warm fire, but that's not always the case. They were often poisoned with the natural herbs around them. They would lay curses on their crops, salt the fields, and these settlers that were exploring the areas began to tell these tales. Even though the knowledge that the crone or the witch has, it's deeply connected to the lands, not to people. They often seen people as a threat and wanted to reclaim that land from the settlers and other communities that surrounded the area. She became a warning sign against encroaching in the wilderness, getting lost. She would leave signs, sticks and string tied together. Very Blair Witch Project, but that had to come from somewhere, and a lot of that is rooted in Appalachian folktales of witches. Even though most of the Christian stake that is in Appalachia today still has deep, very heavy roots in witchcraft. I would say that Christianity is a subplot to Appalachian folklore. A lot of your folklore is going to be taken from Christian roots. However, there's always going to be something further, more elsewhere, deeper into those woods. If, say, for example, you were to wander in the woods by yourself, it's raining, it's dark, and you are cold, you are hungry, and you come across a mysterious woman with a burning hearth, a cabin that's made out of sticks and logs. It's very small, maybe the size of about 100 square feet, living there, and you want to approach her, try to ask her for help. She will not say a word. She does not understand you, the dialect you're using, the strange language you're speaking. She only knows that you are in danger and whether or not that you might be taking or bringing unwanted visitors here. She will ward you away, possibly hurt you or poison you. It's a dark tale. Children that often get lost in the woods will say that they were protected by a witch or an old woman, their skin hanging off of their bones from weather and starvation. The pale, glassy eyes that will stare right into your very soul. She might whisper something in your ear and lead the child back to safety. When you ask the child, what did she say or what happened, she might or they might say something along the lines of, they said when I was going to die. They'll say, I know what's going to happen to you. And it'll be very foreboding. This is the gift and the curse that the witch leaves upon unlikely visitors. If you are an adult, she will ward you away through poisons and curses. If you are a child, she will tell you how your life ends. It is, once again, a story about isolation, a story of nurturing, but also of fear. Another story that I was told during my time here, this is from several families that had a similar experience. There is still some Native nations in Appalachia. While they're very small, not represented well, they have passed these stories down through generations, refusing to move. Often they'll move back and take more stories with them. The Cherokee people told stories about the spirits and the lands and their connection to the natural world. A lot of those became ingrained in Appalachia. The story of the Thunderbird, while taken from its Western roots and its Western Native American brethren, it is also rooted in Appalachia as well. The sudden storm that lifts the clouds, the wings that beat, claps of thunder that bring heavy floods. A valley can be completely decimated, and then the storm evaporates out of thin air. You believe that it was something of a greater spirit, a thunderbird that flew over, brought decimating storms, and left as if nothing happened. We also talk about the great spirits, or the shapers of the mountains and rivers. The great spirits are the bones of the earth, the rivers are the bloods that flow right through them. If you bring harm to land, the great spirit will tempt and try to harm you. This is, again, a story of to beware the outsider, to beware what might come next. And if you were to become a victim of one of these great spirits, you will become a wandering soul of the woods. Will-o'-wisps, taken from Irish folklore, are also a part of Appalachian tradition. Will-o'-the-wisps, or wandering souls, roam the forests. They are souls that are lost and stuck between worlds, seeking closure. Locals believe that if you hear a faint song in the woods, it's a wandering soul calling for help. If you hear these songs while wandering the woods, be wary. These are not benevolent spirits. They are stuck, they are trapped, and they are tortured. They have been seeking closure, but they can no longer receive that closure. There's nothing they can do besides harm others and possibly trap your soul as well. These stories are not just myths. It's a way for the Cherokee and the Iroquois to honor their ancestors and protect their land. They remind us that the mountains are alive with the spirits. To go into further with the ghosts and spirits of Appalachia, this is a campfire story that the settlers told themselves after hearing the stories that I have mentioned prior. The distant laughters and crackling campfires. There might be a fiddle playing. Oftentimes music is accompanied with the camp. It's to ward off bad spirits. However, that's not always the case. You can lead someone to your camp by playing music. They want to be heard, and if they hear something in return, they will try to find the source of the noise. It is better to leave the smoke and to leave the fire and to be quiet while in the woods. Appalachian folklore is a rich tapestry of these different types of stories. Appalachian ghosts and the trees that haunt the woods. During the Civil War, oftentimes Confederate and Union soldiers died in Appalachia. These ghosts are left to wander the woods. Often you will hear a gunshot with no smoke, or you will hear the sounds of marching in the woods, snapping of branches. And if you go to explore these sounds, you are more likely to return pale. To never wander the woods by yourself. If you were to hear a gunshot and you were the only one around for miles, do not explore those woods. Oftentimes, it will be these dying soldiers, these dead soldiers. We often have dynamite or black powder boxes that are still littered throughout the lands. If you come across one, it's very exciting. However, you know for sure the blood of many Americans are under your feet. It's best to respectfully leave those things alone, not only for American history, but for respect for the dead. These places are unmarked graves. These are where great battles were fought, small skirmishes. Tens, thousands, hundreds of people lay beneath your feet. And if you go to explore the noises you hear in the woods, you will most likely find a vengeful spirit. On the darker side of folklore, while most of these are ghosts that linger between the woods, those who are isolated in the woods through tragedy and death and sickness, many times you'll hear stories about the Wendigo, also a close brother but not directly. The same thing is the Skinwalker. These are directly Iroquois and Cherokee tales. I believe it's overdone on internet folklore and internet culture. However, in Appalachia, they are a very real thing for some people. They genuinely believe if you hear a whistle in the woods, you did not. That if you were to shine your flashlight, your torch, or your lantern into the woods, and there's a set of glowing eyes back at you, you didn't see that. There is also a strong belief that if you hear screaming or laughing, it might not just be a bobcat deep in the wood. It might be something that's hunting you. The Wendigo and the Skinwalker are tales of famine. Oftentimes, the settlers told stories of cannibalism while stuck in the winters between the mountains, stuck in the valleys, deep in mud. They told stories about people starving to death, the betrayer of the community who took rations and let the others starve, people who had to turn to cannibalism to survive. These people are now monsters. They heard the stories from the Cherokee and the Iroquois, and they remembered. They told and passed down these tales between their ancestors and other communities. If your friend leaves the campfire, walks off to go to the bathroom, circles around the camp, and comes back the opposite direction, is that your friend? Can you be sure? Why did he circle the camp? What a strange thing to do. Another note is the sound of the wood. This is directly related to the feeling of the woods in Appalachia. If you're on the trails, if you're out hunting, you might feel the wind and hear the insects buzzing. The birds are chirping, but suddenly they stop. That is the feeling of pure dismay. That pressure of the sound going away, pure mutedness. It is silence. That is something that is told often in hunting tales around the campfire with your buddies. The silence of the woods means that there is something there, something that is far darker than you can possibly imagine. This thing is hunting you. It's trying to call out your name. It's not your friend. It is taken from further with the Wendigo and the Skinwalker, but it is the woods themselves. They are alive. When they lure curious visitors into the wood, they are leading you with the sounds of birds, the sounds of the insects, and then suddenly, once you feel comfortable, the sound stops. You're by yourself, miles away from help. The isolation is suffocating. Well, this ends my quick audio broadcast. Try to keep it short and brief, but these are some of my favorite stories from Appalachia. These are stories that I were personally told either on hunting trips or camping trips. I found these very fun, very interesting, and in most cases very sad that the isolation of Appalachia is unique to its own region. The effects are psychological. this, these stories have been passed down from generation to generation, and then are told to me when I moved here, and they've firmly implanted themselves into my brain. There's something I just cannot forget. Anyway, I really hope you enjoyed it. If you would like more of this, I will hopefully upload more soon. Anyways, hope you have a wonderful night, and stay spooky.